You know, last Sunday I started talking about how in this new decade we just started, there needs to be a new us. There needs to be a new you. And I really pray that in the next 10 years, not just this year, you'll allow God to transform you. I mean, think about it. How old are you going to be 10 years from now? It's a little bit sobering, eh? It can be sobering. But if you and I are still alive, we are going to be, you're going to be that age. Amen? Some of us singles will be married. Many of us will have more kids to feed and take care of. All you teens would have graduated from college. Some of you will be doing your masters. It's going to be exciting 10 years. And we got to present ourselves and be ready to allow God to use us. Because God is not going to force anybody in here or ever to do anything. We got to make ourselves available. You know, prior to the new year, we started talking about the whole concept of you and I being a new creation. You and I being transformed into the image of Jesus. That we are a work in progress. Every single day, every single year that goes by, we need to be becoming more like Jesus in our lives and in our characters. Amen? Amen? And we started off by talking about how we need to become a people person. Jesus was a people person. Alright? I hope you're making some changes. I hope you're not the same quiet, mute, you know, just sitting there. Jesus was not like that. Amen? You need to imitate Jesus. You say, well, Richard, God didn't create me that way. Precisely. He wants to change you. Amen? We can all be different. We can all be outward. We can take our eyes off of ourselves and look at the needs of others. Amen? I've said it before and I'll say it again. I know a lot of you don't believe me. I used to be a very shy person. In a lot of ways, I still consider myself a very shy person. Now, once I get behind the pulpit, I'm a different person. Okay? But I'm a very shy person. I don't get excited about a lot of things. I get excited about God and His Word. And I get excited about a few things in sports. That's about it. Okay? SEC, baby. 4 in a row. They can say anything they want. Pac-10, Big 12. This is the best conference in the country. Okay, and we got to keep it going. But I'm not digressing. But you see, you can change. You can become a people person. We talked about becoming a more prayerful person. As we started talking about even this morning in the book of Acts, that's what you're going to see throughout that book. The first century church was a prayerful church. People were on their knees on a daily basis. People spend time with God. Are you with me? That's what we've got to be individually and as a church. If you do nothing else this decade, if you change that one thing, if you decide to draw closer to God in prayer like you've never done before, I promise you, you're going to look back at the next 10 years and you're going to be astonished what God would have done with your life. Are you listening to me? Then we talked about becoming a more faithful person. Where we got to trust God. God is in control of everything. Our Father owns everything. He just speaks and things start to happen. You got to become more faithful. And we're going to be talking a lot about that this year. Are you with me? Are you a faithful person or do you just see what's in front of you? Can you see the victory? Or you just see the problems and the headaches? Then we talk about becoming a more focused person. Where we understand why we are on this earth. God didn't create you and I to get up and to raise a few kids and to go to some job every day. That's not why He created you. If that's what you think, you got it all backwards. God created us to glorify Him, to praise Him. Are you with me? God created us because He loves us, He cares about us, and He wants to spend eternity with us. This morning, we're going to start talking about becoming a person who hates sin. What does the Bible say about Jesus and sin? Write these references down. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Jesus is described as without sin. Hebrews 4:15. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Jesus is described as one who committed no sin. First Peter 2, 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, again about Jesus, Him who had no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 1 John 3:5. It says, in Him is no sin. Still talking about Jesus. 1 John 3:5. And then in Isaiah 53 verse 11, this is an Old Testament reference obviously, Jesus is described as the righteous one. The sinlessness of Jesus is the universal teaching in the Bible. The fact that He was flesh and blood like you and I, although He lived for just 33 years. He walked around like a human being. He wasn't dressed like this. They didn't wear suits back then, they wore robes. Alright? When you see people in the Middle East, on TV, today, Palestine, Jordan, that's the way they dressed back then. That's the way Jesus dressed. But you see, He lived like you and I, but He was without sin. I mean, think about that. I mean, it's one thing to go for a whole year without lusting. His entire life, He never lusted. Not once. But the Bible also teaches He was tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet was without sin. He was tempted to lie. Jesus was tempted to be lazy. Jesus was tempted to gossip. Jesus was tempted to be selfish. But He never did any of that. And that's the person you and I have been called to imitate. This is not something that Richard came up with. This is not something that this church came up with. This is in the Bible. Are you with me? Are you going to become a person who hates sin? Again, like Derek started to talk about in this communion, not your wife's sin or your husband's. I'm talking of you. We're very good. We're experts at seeing the sins of other people. Some of you have a PhD in it. Oh, you can spot somebody else's sin from a mile away. And the Bible says you don't even see what's staring you in the face, your own sin. Okay? So again, all I'm going to be talking about this morning, I don't want you thinking about anybody else, I want you to thinking about yourself. Because this is the one thing that is going to keep you out of heaven. Sin. This is the one thing that will keep me out of heaven. Sin. Not somebody else's sin, not Sarah's sin, not the sins of my children, mine. Are you listening to me? You see, Jesus was determined not to sin because He wanted to please God. In John 8 verse 29, you can write this down. Again, Jesus talking about Himself. He says, I always do what pleases Him. In John 6 verse 38, it says, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Are you with me? You see, that's what it's all about. And I think we got to be very, very careful as Christians, because when you read the Bible, it's very easy as Christians to minimize our sin. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Come on, let me hear those Bibles turning. I'm not making this stuff up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin reading verse 1. It says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Verse 6. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Amen? You see, God is saying right here that we need to learn from other people's mistakes. He's talking about the nation of Israel. Today, we are spiritual Israel. We're descendants, we're heirs of Abraham. Are you listening to me? I don't know if this has ever occurred to you. Do you realize that most of the Bible was written to us? Most of what's inside this book, 98%, is written to us. It's not written for people who are not Christians. It's written for us. And this chapter is in there. It says, I'm reminding you to remember what the Israelites did. And it says, it's written down for us as warnings for us so that we don't make the same mistake. It says, do not be idolaters like some of them were. Yeah, back then they had idols that they were bowing down to and worshiping other gods of other nations. Today we don't have those kind of physical idols. We have all kinds of other idols. And we talked about this, I think at some point last year. The sin of idolatry. If there is anything in your life that is more important than God, that thing is an idol. And you are not going to make it to heaven. Chances are, if I know God and the way He operates, chances are, that thing that you consider so important more than God, He's going to take it from you. It can even be a loved one. He will take that person away from you. And now watch what you're going to do. We got to be very, very careful. Amen? Idolatry creeps in. You know I was joking last week, but it's not a joke. I know a lot of us, we spend time on Facebook. How come I don't see you writing there about the way God is impacting your life on Facebook? How come you're not sharing about what you're learning in your Bible study on Facebook? You're talking about all this worldly stuff. It's not a sin to be on Facebook, but what are you doing? Why don't you use it to impact people? That's what I got a problem with. If you're just getting on Facebook just to talk, you're wasting your time. Use it for the Lord, amen? Maybe you tweet. I don't tweet. I'm not even sure I can spell tweet. Okay? But tweet some scriptures for goodness sake. Amen? I'm bringing all this stuff because we're getting very worldly. And it's creeping in and you don't even see it. Think about it. Could you go 1 week without watching television? 1 week. No TV. You say, well, Richard, what am I going to do? Well, I got a lot of stuff you can do. I'm glad you asked. Spend that time connecting with your children. Spend that time in your Bible. Not this, you know, quiet time you have every day and you just study out one topic. Where it's going to take you a whole week to take something apart. There's so much you can be doing with that time. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a sin to watch football. I know some of you are all getting excited. Oh, Richard, this is the playoffs. Who cares? One team is going to come out on top, so what? And next year, there's going to be some playoffs too. All I'm just saying is don't waste your time. Again, I bring up these things because these are the things that we've gotten ourselves sucked into. A lot of us were parents. We have kids. Yeah, we need to take care of those kids. That's why God gave them to us. But are you so busy taking care of your kids that you don't even have time to read your Bible and pray? That's a problem. You got a problem. You got a problem. Amen? Idolatry. Immorality. Again, that didn't come out. That's not something this church came up with. If you're not married to somebody, you shouldn't be sleeping with them. Period. Amen? After you say, I do, I'm yours for life, till death do us part, you can do anything you want. But until then, you keep your hands to yourselves. That's what the Bible teaches. Anybody that tells you otherwise, they're lying to you. Amen? But you see, these things are down here as warnings for us so that we don't make the same mistake. You know what? Heaven is a holy place. God is a holy God. There's no sin there. That's where we're going to spend eternity. I mean, think about it. I don't know. These are the kind of things I think about. In terms of what it's going to be like. There's not going to be any temptation. There's not going to be any envy. No selfishness. No lust. No impurity. There'll be no need for it. It's going to be a beautiful place. And Satan doesn't want any of us to make it. You know, the Bible teaches that in Matthew that God created hell for the devil and his angels. Hell was not created for us. But guess what? He's not going down there alone. He's not a dummy. If anything, we're told in Revelation that he knows that his time is short. He couldn't fight God, and so he came after us. And that's all that's going on. But you got to be very careful. You got to become somebody who hates sin. Now, here's the problem. Do we hate sin like God does? Look in Proverbs chapter 13. Do we hate sin like God does? Proverbs chapter 13. In verse 5. It says, the righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. It says the righteous hate what is false, hate what is evil. The righteous hate sin, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. I believe there's a big difference between when you love something and when you hate something. I mean, it's not even close. And God says we need to hate sin. Not tolerate it. Not see how close we can get without falling over. I mean, I'm up here standing at the edge of this, this stage. And every once in a while, Sarah would tell me, you know, she gets very nervous because I get so close to the edge. She feels I'm going to fall over. But it's okay. If I fall over, I'll get up. As long as I don't break anything. But you see, as I'm standing here, if I keep leaning forward, guess what? I'm going to fall. And so the smart thing is to step back. Right? Now, I haven't fallen down yet. All right? It hasn't happened yet. Because believe me, I know where the edge is. It may not feel like it, but I do. All right? But again, it's the same thing with sin. You don't get to the edge and see how close you can get. This is something you don't play with. Because it's going to keep you, it will keep me out of heaven. Now, we're going to look at a bunch of verses here that are talking about sin. Psalm 36, verse 2. Psalm 36. In Psalm 36, verse 2. As a matter of fact, let's begin in verse 1. This is David, a man after God's own heart. Listen to what he says. He says, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. So that's the problem right there. You see, when we're in sin, first of all, it shows that we don't fear God. Okay? And then he talks about how that person flatters themselves so much to hate or detect their own sin. They're always minimizing their sin. I'm not that bad. Compared to my husband or my wife or so-and-so, oh no, I'm a saint. Compared to people I live around, that live around me, oh, I'm a very nice person. Compared to some of the people I went to school with, oh boy. But you see, you're comparing yourself to the wrong people. This, the last time I checked, is still the standard. And when we compare ourselves to these brothers and sisters, we don't even come close. It needs to humble us out. Because we know we fall short. Now, praise God for grace. Yeah, we have grace in Christ. But the fact that we have grace does not give us a license to continue to sin. The Bible talked about that. That's one of the things I can't stand about TV preachers. You will never hear them talk about sin. Because I promise you, the day any of them starts talking about sin, they will lose half their congregation. Because people don't want to hear that. It's like, uh-oh, here you are, you're a quote-unquote celebrity, public figure, recording artist, dating another recording artist. I'm going to look down at you and say, hey guys, what are you doing shanking up together? What's that all about? You think they're going to come back next week? I don't think so. I don't care about how much money he's got. He's insane. I mean, who is the most popular TV female personality right now? It's Oprah. I don't know if I'm going to meet Oprah. But if I do, I got one thing I'm going to say to Oprah. You are in sin. You're shacking up. You've been shacking up with this guy. What's his name again? Stedman? You all need to get married. You need to go talk it over. You know, we can step to the side and do some marriage counseling. And I'll do it. You don't have to tell the whole world that you're not married. But get it right. Oh, no. Nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, isn't she wonderful? If she's not going to repent, she's going to hell. That's what my Bible teaches. And everybody else like that. You see, that's what's going to keep us out of heaven. When we minimize our own sin, or when we minimize the sin of others. You shouldn't flatter people. You need to tell them the truth if you truly do love them. Right. You know, this ain't right. Amen? Psalm 45, verse 7. Psalm 45, verse 7. It says, God loves righteousness and hates wickedness. Same thing as saying, God loves righteousness and hates sin. Psalm 97, verse 10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. Hate sin. Same thing. Psalm 97, verse 10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. And then it also in Proverbs 8 verse 13 talks about how God hates pride and arrogance. Malachi 2 verse 16, the Bible says God hates divorce. Romans 12, 19, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. I mean, it's all over the place. You know, it's amazing to me how, my family, we can talk in here, right? The Bible says God hates divorce. In case you haven't heard it, let me be the first one to tell you again this morning as we begin 2010. If you are married, you've said I do to somebody before a judge or magistrate, maybe you even got, you know, married under your traditional, you know, values and customs, that's fine. Or you got married before a minister. It's still the same. God just says, get married. He doesn't say how. Okay? Now, you can't say, well, honey, I love you. We're married. That don't work that way. Because, again, there are laws in terms of how, in terms of what the country or any country considers marriage. Okay? So, it's not just, I love you. We're married. You don't walk that way and give a ring. Please. Don't even try. All right? But if you're married to somebody, when I read my Bible, there are only two ways you can get out of it. If your spouse, heaven forbid, is immoral, or cheats on you, or commits adultery, your husband goes and sleeps with another woman, or your wife goes and sleeps with another man, that's one way you can get out. Okay? Now, that happens sometimes, and you see that spouse, forgive the other spouse, and they move on. It's not easy, but it does happen. That's one way. The other way is for your spouse to abandon you. The man just gets up one day and leaves and walks out. You don't know where he is. It doesn't have anything to do with you. He's left you and the kids and he's just gone. Now you say, well, how long is abandonment? Well, it's not 1 month. I can promise you that. What is suggested there is that there's got to be a period of time where the person is just gone. Under those two circumstances, you can get out of a marriage. Oh, me and my husband, we don't get along. Well, you need a lot of marriage counseling. You need a lot of help. But I'm sorry, divorce is not one of them. I bring that up because every once in a while I hear this, you know, well, we're thinking about divorce. What church do you think you're part of? No, seriously. You think the elders and I are going to let that happen in this congregation? Well, let me tell you right now from the pulpit. It's not going to happen. God hates divorce. This leadership hates divorce. Do you need help in your marriage? Absolutely. And we're going to be there to give it to you. We may even send you to go get professional help. But I'm sorry, divorce ain't an option for you. Amen? Amen. Once you say, I do, that's it. There's no getting out of it. Amen? My wife and I, we've married now almost 18 years. I can honestly tell you, and again, I'm not saying this to brag, the thought of divorcing her has never even crossed my mind. Why would I want to divorce somebody that's 10 times better than me? Do you think I'm stupid? You know, every once in a while, people, you know, especially when people meet my wife for the first time. Oh, I met your wife. She's so lovely. She's this, she's this, she's this. I let them go on, and I go, why do you think I married her? I knew a good thing. I knew it when I saw it. Okay? I'm digressing, but let me tell you what happened. We're in the church in Nairobi, Kenya, and she became a Christian. And one day, you know, I'm talking to Mike Tolliver. He was the evangelist of the church at the time. And I went up to him. I said, bro, I said, you know me. You know what I want to do with my life and, you know, the things I want to accomplish for God and everything. If you were single, who would you go out with? Who would you be trying to build a relationship with? It was after midweek service. I'll never forget it. And he looks around the room and he goes, see that sister right there? I said, Sarah? He said, yeah. So have you gone out with her? I said, no. He said, take her out. I said, what do you think? Should I take out, you know, like once a month? He goes, take out every week if you want. What do I care? I said, no, once a week is too much. You know, no, I ain't doing that once a week thing. And so I went up to her and I said, you know, I'd love to take you out. And she said, well, I got a date this weekend, and you know. So we set up a date, we went out. hold on. And so we went out and we had a great time. Now she remembers all the details, I don't. And that's the truth. And so I said, you know, I gotta take this out again. So I went to her, I said, hey, after that date, I said, you know, what are you doing next week? She goes, well, I got a date. I said, well, how about the following week? She goes, I got a date. I said, how about the following week? She said, I got a date. Hold on. I said, how about the following week? She said, that's free. I said, okay, now, put me down for that date, and then the week after, and then the week after, and the week after. As God is my witness, that's what I did. And now I've been married almost 18 years. But the thought of divorcing has never crossed my mind. Why? Because God does not permit me to do it. When I said I do, I didn't have a back door. There was only one way to go, and that was forward. Whatever problems we had, we were going to fix it and keep on going. But going our separate ways is not an option for me. It really isn't. And I've said it before, you know, God only God knows how long I'm going to live and how long she's going to live. If God were to take me, if God were to take her, I would not remarry. I couldn't do it. I'll be single and I'll raise my kids and, you know, have a great time. I'm still continuing to impact for God, but I didn't get married. And she came to the same conclusion on her own. But that's just us. Because divorce is not an option. Amen? If you're a Christian, I'm sorry. Do you need to get help? Absolutely. But you don't have that option. It's not there. Now look in James chapter 4. And this is where I'm going to end up today. I'll continue next Sunday. You see, we've been talking about sins of commission. But there's another huge sin that we all commit every day that we don't pay attention to. In James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. I don't know about you, this is very convicting. The Bible says when we know the good we ought to do and we don't do it, you are in sin. And it will stop, that sin will keep you from going to heaven. It's just as bad as immorality or gossip or slander and all those other things. Or selfishness, name it. It's the same thing. You see, the Bible never quantifies sin. The Bible never puts sin on a scale and says, well, oh yeah, that one is really horrible. This one is over here. No, it doesn't work that way. Sin is sin as far as God is concerned. God says, you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, you are in sin. Amen? You know, the Bible encourages us to do a lot of stuff. Individually and as a congregation. One of the things it talks about always is that we should not give up meeting together. I don't know about you. I wasn't fired up about Thursday night, about canceling church. Now, again, the elders and I, we didn't want to put anybody in jeopardy, you know. It was snowing and, you know, people are sliding all over the place and, you know, incurring all kinds of damage with their cars and everything. We didn't want that to happen. And that's why we canceled church. But I wasn't fired up about it because I love meeting together. When you heard the news that there's no church, you didn't go, yes! Or did you go, man, I really wanted to go? God knows your heart. God knows how you reacted. Y'all not fooling me. You didn't go and fool him? Is midweek service an option for you? Again, I'm not talking about you're sick and you're in bed. That's not what I'm talking about. You've gone to work from 9 to 5. Oh, I'm tired. Well, welcome to the club. That's a time to come worship God. It's not an option. We meet only twice a week. On Thursday night and on Sunday mornings. My wife was reaching out to a lady the other day. She goes to church 5 times a week. She goes, I go to church 5 times a week. I can't come to your church. That's what she said. 5 times. Some of you will be struggling if we implemented that. Why? Because we've allowed other issues, kids' activities, other things to get in a place of our relationship with God. You are in sin. And you need to repent. Amen? Amen. Again. Oh yeah, I'm there. Yeah, what time did you get there? Let's talk about that one. Again, some of us, we're perpetual latecomers. Yeah, every once in a while, something will happen, you know. You're coming to church, one of the kids, you know, there's an accident, you got to go back, you know, I can't. Every once in a while that happens, but that's not every week. This is not rocket science. Just get up half an hour earlier than you normally do. And you will be here on time. That's the class that goes on in here, and the kids' class, it starts at 10 o'clock. Not at 10:05. So you need time to get the kids in class and be here in here. You know, I don't know if you notice, a lot of times when the class starts, you see me in the back. I'm not just standing there looking at the whatever. I'm looking at who's coming late. And I'm going to start calling you out. Because you're not here to worship me, you're here to worship God. I think it's wrong. You are in sin. And it needs to change. I'll tell you one thing I did one time, many years ago, when I was leading the church in Lagos. I told, again, we're talking like this as family, about people coming in late and this and this. I said, you know, one of these is I'm going to lock the doors. They thought I was joking. I gave them a few weeks. And I literally, I told the ushers to stand outside and do not let anybody in, except for people that were visiting. I had a Christian stand outside. Now, some people had allergies and left. What do I care? But come in, come on. We're here to worship God. Don't test me now. Okay? I know the custodian. He and I were like this. But come on, we're not kids. We don't have to get to that. We're here to worship God. And so you need to think about it over the next several days. What are the sins of omission that are present in your life? And you need to change it. You need to become a person who hates sin. Amen? Because that's what's going to keep you out of heaven. I'm going to stop there for now. And we'll continue next Sunday. We'll see each other Thursday night. Come rain, snow, or hailstorm, we are going to have midweek service. God bless you.